listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Fantastic show episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am Bruce Cameron alongside my co-host, Wayne Fritz. We have a special guest today, so I'll just give it over to Wayne and let's get started.
Tell you what, Bruce, thank you and welcome everybody. I'm really excited about our guest today. We just met very briefly, but it was a wonderful meeting. And I've never, well, a few times get to see somebody and visit with somebody that has the energy and the enthusiasm and the dedication this young lady has. I met her through a very good friend of both of ours, Stan Steinkruger out in Amarillo, Texas. And Haley Sparks came over to his house, and we all visited a bit. And I found out about Haley's story. And first of all, Haley, welcome.
Thank you.
And second of all, I think the best place to start, seriously, if you don't mind, I'm going to put it right on you, is, I mean, you in school you ran, you did long distance, and then you were so good that the school sent you to finish school in Spain. Is that right?
I did finish my semester in Spain, yes.
And can you kind of take off from there? Because you've got quite a history that brings you to where you are today.
Yeah.
And again, in this show, we have a lot of life coaches that are on this show. We have people that have been on the show that watch the show. And your story is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's, you know, it's been quite the journey. It's hard to even, I tell people and my clients, I'm like, man, I feel like I've lived four lifetimes in my 30 years of living just because of how much I've grown and evolved from everything. You know, like I've had kind of an untraditional start from the very beginning, you know, my twin sister and I. And so when, you know, the obstacles I didn't know how to navigate at the kind of version of myself that I was at the time. So it was a different kind of period in my life. But what I did was I channeled all of that in like motivation, I would say, into self-healing and into bettering myself and going full-fledged at everything. And maybe that was a good or bad thing. I don't know. At everything that I did. So from Spain and, you know, graduating from collegiate athletics, it's like, what do you do from there? Because us college, you know, athletes in general, we just have a different kind of life, a different kind of lifestyle, mindset, drive, everything. So what I did was I was in the midst of, and I don't know how in detail you want me to get here, but I was in the midst of, you know, recovering from a very, very severe eating disorder at the time. So I didn't really have a healthy relationship with anything as far as activity or nutrition and those kinds of outlets. I just went full-fledged, like I said, into those things, and it ended up being detrimental to, you know, my health and everything. But I always say that there's a reason, and, you know, there is a reason for everything that we go through. And, you know, developing the mindset that I did during those years of my eating disorder was something that I don't think I would have developed if I hadn't gone through those 10 years. And that was discipline. That was commitment. That was realizing what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do, AKA boundaries, you know, learning how to say no. So I started lifting, you know, and I started getting into the gym and bodybuilding, you know, like getting, I wanted to be strong. I wanted to prove to myself that I can be strong and I can reach my goals. And the kind of, you know, hard work that it takes to get there isn't something that you can kind of teach somebody. It's something that comes intrinsically. So that was kind of like the start into a whole nother athletic career, which evolved into competing competitively in CrossFit. You know, I compete professionally, you know, in competitions around Texas and then try to qualify for those bad boys in Florida and California. And, you know, that's a sport of all sports. So now it's like literally using my mindset and using that discipline and commitment and drive to everything that I do and getting into extreme sports and all those other kinds of things where it's like, how can I utilize everything that I've done and been through in the past to be a driving force for my success now? So in a nutshell, Wayne, that's a little bit about, you know, post Spain and my athletic career on that side of it.
It's amazing. And you come from, this is for Bruce because Bruce is a Texan also. What town can I say that you came from?
Let's say, you know, grew up in Boys Ranch till I was in fifth grade and then moved to Wheeler.
You know what? Okay, Bruce, because we were talking about that.
I was like Childress or Quanah. He said out toward Amarillo, so I didn't know.
Yeah, small town, you know.
But, Mule Shoe, yeah.
Yes, Wheeler, Texas is where I graduated. Taylor and I graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, and today, though, you're an entrepreneur also.
Yes, yes.
And you actually coach people. Tell us.
Full time.
Yeah. I mean, and you're busier than a one-arm person with dandruff.
Yes, I am. That's funny. But yes, I am. I stay busy and I love it though.
But what I want to do then, Haley, is kind of, how did you get into that?
Okay.
Where are you in that?
Yeah.
And what do you actually do with that?
Yeah. So that was something that, you know, I realized was a resort of, like, it was a testimony for my whole life. You know, this eating disorder ended up being something that I'm now able to, as a life coach, you know, teaching health, you know, and that is a whole realm of stress management, recovery, sleep, nutrition, all of those things. So everything that used to trigger me and was literally like breaking me down back in the day, because I didn't know how, it was just ignorance, you know, it was not knowing how to cope through things first off, but second, just not knowing anything about nutrition to know elsewise, you know? So I opened up a nutrition company in the midst of COVID. And that was after getting a certification through a gym, where I decided to go independent and be like, do you know what? I'm not scared to hustle. I know what I believe in and I have a passion for it. I literally just want to help. And I know that this is probably every entrepreneur's like saying, but I really do want to help everyone, like everyone. If I have a conversation with them, I hope that in some way I helped you, you know, or benefited you. So nutrition is such a touchy subject and was one that I did not talk about. I want to be able to relate, and I do now relate to people on those levels that it's like, wow, I didn't know that I could get healthy in a way that was realistic, that was something that was going to stick forever. And it wasn't going to be like a diet that we just think about when we think about getting healthy, you know? So started this company in COVID, and my mentor, she actually brought up to me about like 2 years in, and I had this wait list of like, not kidding you, like 18 people. And that was already having 35 clients on my own. She mentioned the idea of, hey, what do you think about like bringing on a team, you know, hiring some nutrition coaches? And I was like, oh, what? Oh my goodness, Kayla, that's so official. I was like, let's do it. So, you know, that's how I started to kind of expand, was hiring nutrition coaches so I could, you know, potentially hand off these clients to all of them and I could work more on the business, right? So now, you know, another year later, I've expanded to incorporating fitness, which is what people think that I usually do because I am an athlete, but just incorporated fitness into the company. So I'll be rebranding in January for the very first time. So, and have a fitness director and trainer. So now that we can incorporate remote personal training and get people active, now get their health in check, their stress in check, their sleep in check, like their life in check, you know? So really just building a team now where we can do holistic medicine, basically, where we get healthy from the inside out, emotionally, physically, nutritionally, spiritually, you know, all the things.
Let me ask you a question. This is off base, but a few years ago, Stan had a trainer.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Do what?
Like a personal trainer?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did have a personal. I remember that. No, I don't do that. And like, that's why I hired someone now to take control, like a fitness director who will create these programs, you know, that we'll be able to give doctors and chiropractors and things like that and gyms. So they can start, you know, my trainers can start remote personal training them through specific, you know, programs and videos and movement specialists and all of those kinds of things.
Well, I know it made a heck of a difference for Stan.
Knowledge is power, you know, knowledge really is power.
I'm going to step back a minute too, because I want to talk about Stan.
Yeah.
How long were you with Stan and Salad Master?
I would say it wasn't that long. Like, I would say like maybe a year and a half or so, or maybe a year.
Yeah. Because you did a heck of a job. I mean, Stan brags about you. And, but you left not because of any reason except that you were so busy.
Yeah. I kind of didn't have a direction at that time. I was like, I know what I want to do, but you know, I was going to go to the Navy, at that time and got my, OAR test done, did all of that kind of stuff. And then that's when I found CrossFit. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to pursue myself full fledged in this, because COVID hit, didn't want to do training in a mask, didn't know about the government or anything at the time, you know? So that's when I really, and you know, thinking about it now, that's when my self journey became like a priority also, you know, I committed to CrossFit and learned so much about myself. So I would say that was kind of like the start of something new too, but yeah, Navy was a plan, but then decided to go INDEP, you know, independent instead.
That's great. Well, yeah. I was sure impressed when I met you, and I know Stan is so impressed and so proud of you. So, but Bruce, I'm sure you've got.
it's interesting. You know, you talk about coming back or recovering from an eating disorder, and typically the way eating disorders are kind of written about is that they're even in the diagnostic statistical manual in the American Psychiatric, so they're still categorized as disorders of childhood. Mm-hmm. And sounds like, just hearing what you said, yours was maybe a later onset. You know what I'm saying? Or is this something that you kind of sort of had it and put it on the shelf and it came back in full later? Do you mind talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, you nailed it on the head. And you're exactly right, too. I think a lot of this resorts from childhood trauma, you know, and, you know, I kind of, like I said, I didn't traditionally grow up in the setting where you have like a mom and a dad and, you know, a family that eats at the table. Taylor and I grew up in Boys Ranch with our grandparents, gratefully, you know. And, you know, now I have a relationship with my mom, which is amazing, but it's not the same as growing up with a dad figure and a mother figure in a family, you know, and love them for it. And grew up in the perfect environment elsewise, you know, despite everything. But that led to a lot of things and revealed a lot of things growing up, which caused me to cope in a lot of ways that I would never even consider nowadays, right? So when I was 16 years old, I was actually taken advantage of from my best friend and got pregnant as an all-state athlete, all academic, you know, teacher, like loved everything, like everybody, you know, the teacher's favorite, whatever it was, you know, Taylor and I got along with everybody, but that was traumatic. I went through that entire thing alone. And I can't blame my family for that, you know, at all, but emotionally as a 16-year-old, I had to grow up right then and right there. And, that was a huge reason why my eating disorder kind of blossomed, was because obviously I felt, my body wasn't like worthy, you know, like I felt disgusting. I felt like that was something I obviously could control. But that was a very vicious cycle where it had started, and where I had to like, where I said evolve and grow, those are things that I had to process now, years down the road, and make sense of. And that's what's, you know, allowed me to give compassion and love for myself and, you know, everyone around me too. But you're very much right. It was very much something that had trickled from childhood and everything in between.
And you're right. Thank you. I mean, I guess, thank you, but yes. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back a second because somebody who, oh, dang, she disappeared.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, you're back. You know, because survivors of trauma and other backgrounds, right, have a choice to make sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it that led you to choose the light, so to speak, of being disciplined and moving forward and being positive and self-growth versus being,
yeah,
God forbid, in a victim stance, clinically depressed, morbidly obese, whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
What helped you turn this way?
Yeah. Well, I did go through years of that. So let's not like, you know, definitely. But if I'm being honest, Bruce, Jesus, you know, I got saved about 3 years ago and it changed my life. Like it completely changed my life. Awesome. And I can't even credit anything else besides that. So
no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Having your spiritual, your faith.
My faith. I'd say my faith for
you
sure.
Jump in there and be your guidepost for morals, values, beliefs, choices, mm-hmm. right? And so, no, that's fantastic. I just so you know, I worked 6 years in a women's penitentiary at Carswell. I worked with Squeaky Fromm, Charles Manson's girlfriend for you. So I've really seen, in an institution with 3,000 female inmates, there's a lot of eating disorder and, you know, just mm-hmm. a lot of trauma, you know, in that underserved population. But so I'm always fascinated to see what it is, right, for each person.
Yeah.
That is that catalyst that gets them through that trauma and through that, because that's a
right
man. I mean, you know, you're, and again, I'm going to get off this bus for in just 1 second, but a lot of time that trauma defines people. They can't, they go back to it, you know, and they go back to it in their dreams. They go back to it in conversations, and everything is sadly for many people, they struggle looking back. Mm-hmm. And allowing that trauma to define them. So I'm just so blessed that that's not a situation with you and that with your faith and your interactions with others. You're, you know, Wayne just says, you know, how busy and dedicated and forward thinking and forward moving you are. So that's just really cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I actually wrote something about that yesterday about, you know, just opportunity. I was like, there was two brothers, and you've probably heard that before. Like there was two brothers that both had an alcoholic father, and the millionaire brother, you know, credited his success to, you know, I had an alcoholic father. And then the other homeless brother said that, you know, he was homeless because he had an alcoholic father. So it really is kind of what you make of the situation and circumstance, and not letting that generational trauma or just trauma in general define you, you know, breaking that cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and again, I didn't have a chance to learn all this about you. So it sounds like you were doing some of the Salad Master stuff, but you've transitioned into another business altogether now. Is that right? Or are you still doing
it? Yeah. So Salad Master was Stan and then completely went solo and opened my own nutrition company, which is called Sparks Transform Nutrition. But rebranding to be called Rebuilt Lifestyle Coaching in January.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, who was it? What multi-level place had that spark energy? Remember that drink?
Oh, Advocare.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to actually sign stuff in order to not get like cross boundaries between them. Right. Yeah. My last first name is too easy.
It's like a Rorschach card, like spark, you know.
It really is. I'm like, peace.
Right. That's good though, man. Okay. So went to your own, or doing it, your own company, and then mm-hmm. man, what a great first world problem to have that. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The waiting list.
You're
hiring other consultant coaches to service that area that leaves you free to take on other kinds of clients. What are some of your dream clients? What's your dream customer, consumer, or client?
Yeah. It's so crazy. And I know this probably doesn't answer the question, but maybe it will. But I always tell the people, because at some point in their journey, I'm like, ah, that was why we are connected. You know, like that's why we're working together. So I don't know if it's like an ideal client, because I have people that are pregnant and wanting to learn how to eat healthy for once, you know, diabetic maybe, or just learning how to eat healthy and have a healthy relationship with themselves. Maybe they don't even know where to go, but they just want my personality for accountability, you know. But there's always a point in our journey where it's like, that was the reason why we're together, you know, because it is such a personal journey that we do go on. And I just genuinely care and, you know, pray over these clients. So whatever it is that we're supposed to work together for, like, it will always surface up.
And it sounds like it's just part of your ministry in a way, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do other formal things or informal things to client acquisition cost or client acquisition types of things, whether it be through social media, YouTube channel?
Yeah.
What do you do, any of that stuff?
So on all like the social platforms and everything, but I really get out into the community and do a lot with high school students and teams. So they have like little podcasts that are part of like, you know, West Plains softball team. And they will have like either a podcast or a social media something or another that, you know, I'm intertwined with also, going and talking to them before home games, seminars at other clinics and things like this. Really, I'm just trying to get involved in every way that I can, you know, gyms being, like someone that a mentor or nutrition program, partnered with them. But I'd say besides YouTube, and an actual podcast, like everywhere, in person, all the socials.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So it sounds like you kind of a flexible strategy about client acquisition.
Yeah. I just love people. Like any way that I can get out and talk to people, FaceTime, Zoom, in person, at their house. That's what I love. The sky's the limit, you know?
When you're coaching clients, And it may be different arrangements for different clients, so let me know. So, but do you do like a 3-month engagement window? Do you just pay by the session? How does that work?
I sell a 90-day lifestyle transformation package. So I used to do monthly, but I'm like, man, people go through hurdles. They go through life events. They don't like give themselves a chance, you know? So I'm like, business-wise, but two, I just want y'all to like stick it out for the 12 weeks so you can give yourself a chance to go through the suck and go through the hurdles and us conquer that together and get through, you know?
Well, that was the right answer. I thought that it was a wrong answer, but in the parlance of coaching, the school Wayne and I went to and the training we received, anyway, and other coaching types, apparently they always recommend a 3-month.
Yeah.
A 3-month term. So that was,
I had to learn. Right, spot on. I had to learn from that.
Yeah, I know. Right. You kind of figured, I mean, yeah, it kind of makes sense now.
Yes,
when,
it does.
When you go through some of these weekly, monthly deals and you're like, oh man. That's a good deal. After the 3 months, is it renewable month by month then, or is it? Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually reward them too. Like if they're at least like 75-80% compliant in the app and making their weekly video calls and things, like I discount their months. So I'm like, yes, you made it through the hard work, you know, like let's keep pressing forward. And usually it's, you know, I have clients that have been with me for a year and a half. Just at this point, it's just life coaching. Like I said,
well, if nothing else, you can become a probation officer.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, I lift. I'm sure that I wouldn't have a problem intimidating any of those guys.
Check in with the app. Accountability.
Yep.
Oh man. Yeah. No. Good stuff. And good. No. Good. Just kidding. But yeah. No. Good. Good stuff there. I think that's really that's that's really good. Sounds like you're really, you know, like a coaching consulting firm business. You're walking that path with flexible entry points, you might say, with who gets in to see you and for what. Because you offer, sounds like a lot of several different service lines, right? Within your
everything. Basically, at this point,
that's not everything.
I got a question.
Yes.
Do you, when you're going to high schools and things like that, and do you ever get girls in athletics that maybe have had some challenges? Maybe not the same ones you had, but similar. You know, I mean, in other words, traumatic. But that they open up to you, or they talk to you, or you coach them a little bit with that, or you share with them, and then you witness to them. I mean, can you?
So that's what it is, you know, like every time I go, and maybe that's why I have such a passion for kids and high school and literally just, like I said, people in general, but always, there are always teenagers and always girls that guys even, you know, I went and talked to the university WT athletics, and there was a football guy that stayed afterwards and talked to me about, you know, like feeling comfortable to tell me about some struggles that he was having. And I always witness to people just because, you know, that's my opportunity. They can take it for what it's worth, but we build a relationship. And yes, absolutely, Wayne, like these high school girls, like I've made connections and relationships and friendships with these people where I might just send them a weekly prayer, you know, via voice message or something like that. And they feel comfortable reaching out and talking to me about stuff that maybe they don't tell me, but I can just like pick up on it. Cause I'm like, ah, I've been there. Like, I know what you're going through and I know you're not saying it, but just being a presence or just being like a ear to these people and to these girls and guys even has proven to be a lot over the years. So yeah, I do, Wayne. Like, I have very personal relationships every single where I go.
Well, you know, we're studying something at church right now about the gifts that
Jesus left.
And not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts that Jesus gave, as far as prophesying, witnessing, and all this kind of stuff. And you know, prophets are supposed to lift people up. They're not supposed to, if somebody's telling you negative things, they're not a prophet. And it's funny about, you're reminding me of some of these lessons. That is so powerful when you feel that. You know, when I was still working in the corporate office, I made a commitment to God that anytime I gave a public speech or gave a speech in a meeting or anything, that I would witness.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just made that because I felt it. I just felt it. And that sounds like that comes out of you so naturally also. Because when the truth comes and it sets you free, man, that is so true. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you that I'm just so darn proud of you. You're just amazing. And I see one of these days I'm going to see you on national television in an interview, and I'm going to say, I know that girl. It's just, there's no better thing than what you're doing, helping people love one another as I've loved you.
It's
just amazing. You're so basic. Thanks.
Yeah. No, thank you. Like, it wasn't something I always was confident in. And, you know, it makes me really happy. Like, genuinely, when you said it, like, it just seems so natural for you. Cause I literally remember praying in church yesterday. I was like, thank you for giving me the confidence and the strength to now be able to just like, I would rather witness to somebody and be that like role model for that kind of person that I am, than not represent that at all, you know, and give like the wrong impression. Right. So nowadays it's like, I'm going to build a following and build up people that need to hear this and that, you know, can relate and things like that, instead of worrying about what people think and, you know, losing like followings and stuff like that. Like, that's not my identity. It's
who can I help? And I'm going to help way more people with that kind of mindset instead of a mindset of worry about like not going with the norm, you know?
Right. Does your twin follow you?
Yeah, she does. She does.
Oh, that's awesome. Because are you identical twins or?
Yep, there's two of us.
No kidding.
Identical, yeah.
So you communicate without communicating.
There's been two instances now in our life where it's been crazy telepathic, like the stuff that you like hear scientific studies on. It was nuts, but two instances. Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, you know, somebody's working on that. Somebody's taking care of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
Yep.
I was going to ask, it just sounds like you're just in the season of opportunity right now. A lot of good things are happening, different directions and all that. Where is this going? Like, where is this ship going? Is it going toward a franchising deal? Is it going toward a book deal? Is it going toward a TV show? What are some of your thoughts about
where
it's all headed?
So definitely thought about, you know, the direction of everything. I will write a book. That's been something that I have thought about, but it's not like a book. Like it's going to be like a devotional with like some of my life stories in there, with like verses that I can that can relate to those stories and things like that, you know, like little testimonials, devotions, things like that. But as far as the business, like I want to build across the US, as far as nutrition coaches getting into doctor's offices and having, you know, a set of, you know, my coaches in every single doctor's office so that they can send them referrals, basically Texas and worldwide. So I would be a facilitator of the company, basically.
What's the secret sauce to your coaches versus other coaches that have other
certification? Okay. So all of my people, and I know this sounds so biased or whatever, you know, an owner would say, but they are truly masters at the art. Like they are, I would say passionate. Like that's the things that I think trumps everything. You know, you could be really good at your job and know everything, which they are very knowledgeable, but they're just passionate and genuine. So
it's not so much about the content, but the people themselves.
It really is. It's the relationship. Yep.
Good answer. Yeah.
True answer too.
I
told you, Bruce.
Not trying to put you on blast, but you know what I mean. A vector has direction and magnitude.
Yeah.
You must see where it's going, you know, and stuff, and obviously, you know, looking. I can't speak for women, but you know, looking back in my own career, it's okay. Graduate school and this and this and this and this and then.
Yeah.
This podcast and some other things going on. So it's always fun to see how things, you know, not how they end, because they never really end, but how
manifest.
What the next chapter looks like. So I think that's interesting. Does your sister have the same temperament and the same type of business thing going as well? Or is it different stuff.
So we very much are the, I would say like similar in terms, because we both had our own things that we grew up in, you know, like trauma and coped with stuff like that. But I would say we both have the spirit of love and compassion and a sense where, you know, she's in high school. She's a high school English teacher, but she has blossomed into somebody like a leader in that department, even as someone that's young, to be a mentor for the other English teachers. But also, and I'm just going to brag on her, like those kids have something special because she truly gets the trauma side of things and the emotional side of things and really can make those kids feel loved and heard and learn those things about themselves that they may never get the chance or opportunity to at home. So we are both like in, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, things like that, but she's very much a different kind of teacher too. Like she isn't just a teacher. She pursues a lot of self-growth through those kids too.
That's
unusual today. There are kids are very lucky if they have your sister. Then I,
I know.
I can name two or three teachers in my entire schooling that left, that mentored me, not only taught me, but.
Yeah. Yeah. She really is. Those kids will remember her forever, and she will do the same, you know, a safe place. She'll definitely create a safe place for them.
I had a school teacher my second year of seventh grade because I loved it so much. I said, I want to stay here again. But I had my algebra teacher and Mr. LeCount, and he was gracious enough to pass me with a D.
But yes.
D for degree, baby.
Yeah.
I saw him 30 years at my 30 year class reunion.
Wow.
He recognized me. And came over to me and said, hello, Wayne.
Oh, I love it.
And I was just a nobody, you know, in seventh grade, my second year, you know, how you can imagine how traumatic that would be.
Yeah.
But there were several reasons I was held back. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. God does things for reasons.
Seriously.
Anyway, we got to visiting and he remembered, you know, he gave me a D and all this, but he always said, you were always positive. And then he asked me to come speak to his class.
Awesome.
That is
really cool. You know, that's somebody that always left an impression on me and helped me. And so, you know, I had two or three of teachers like that, that they went way beyond the subject matter. It was, they got something for life from them.
It's special. And I'm glad that you said that because, like, that's a really, you know, teachers don't get enough credit for what they do. And so just to have that kind of intentional and purposeful impact is like really neat that you could remember that. Cause that's literally the goal of, I think, anybody's life is leaving a legacy, you know? So
Another teacher that I had was that same year, my second year of seventh, was my social studies teacher. And I don't want to get too far off track here, but her name was Mrs. Jones. And I was pretty shy because, again, you know, everybody went before me and there I was behind them. So, and we're still in the same building. That's kind of tough because all of a sudden you're stupid. Mm-hmm. But she was so nice to me and she got me a date. Well, she talked me into getting a date with the prettiest girl in school. Oh, my gosh. This was just the prettiest girl in school. And she even picked us up to take us to the school dance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what best a lot teacher of people ever. Don't know, they didn't put anything in the paper about it, but I don't like to brag about it, but I was a hero that night. Because what I did is we were in the gymnasium and the walls were the color of your shirt, Bruce, only they were glossy. Big cinder blocks, the whole gym was
that
color. You remember those colors.
Sure do.
But what I did is I had a premonition that the walls were going to crack and fall down and kill everybody in the in the gym. So what I did is I stood up against one of those walls real tight like, and I stood there all night holding that wall up. So what I did is I saved all those students.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't recognize that. but I did. I was a silent hero.
I saw it coming in. That's good.
I was scared to death to try to get on.
Yeah, the best spot of the night.
Yeah.
Yes. Good job, Wayne.
An impression on me.
And wall twerking hadn't been invented then.
So yeah.
The basic holding the wall.
In my madness.
Yeah. I found out the other with my own kids. But anyhow, good stuff. I think that, you know, this is really exciting to hear, you know, you're really on the move and on the march. And right now you still live in the Panhandle area.
Yes. Yeah. Amarillo, Texas still.
And that's good, you know, cause sometimes I think, gosh, and I'll be the first, like I've been to Dumas and Borger and Plainview and Quanah. And I think, wow, man, how do you stay busy? You know what I mean? I mean, Amarillo is a good sized town. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah, it is.
In it, but in my mind, you know, I'm like, wow, this, so like you're like in Madison Avenue, busting your ass and, you know, moving around, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Small enough. Like people still know everything, but small enough to still do some, or big enough to still do some business too.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. You know,
yeah. Good community for sure.
Survive and even thrive in
yeah.
the Panhandle.
Yeah. All the tumbleweeds and wind.
I literally had a tumbleweed the size of Texas in my front yard yesterday. I'm like, where did it come from? Wow. Just shows up.
What do you have?
Tumbleweed the size of two of me in my yard.
That's awesome.
That is awesome, man. That's yes. good stuff, man. Can't replace that. Well, that's good.
Let me ask, because you're probably one of the busiest women that I know. What is your typical day or your way? Because I'm lucky that we got you on here at this time.
It's cool. Yeah. So I start early. I start video calls at 6:15 in the morning. And I go till about, I love it though. Like, I am that hype person at 6:15 in the morning, you know, like you'll never find someone like me. But also, I do that and then usually spend about 30 minutes to just kind of like brain break, right? Detox. And then I go train. So that usually takes, you know, I have my perfect schedule. That was something I made a deal with myself as an entrepreneur, is I'm never going to create a schedule that doesn't feel perfect or enjoyable every single day. So I schedule the things that I want to do in my day. You know, like if I want to go to the canyon because I'm super stressed, I will schedule that in my day and not feel guilty for taking 3 hours to go do that, you know. But I usually train until about 11 o'clock in the morning and have another phone block from 11 till 2 in the afternoon. And I usually give myself a little downtime before I start my second session of training till about 5, and then I do video calls until 7. So it's a busy day, but it's fun, and not every day is the same. So a lot of, you know, planning and stuff behind the scenes too. But I love every moment of my day. So genuinely.
Yes. Well, yeah. I know we're getting close to the end, but I just want to tell you, from somebody that now has met you in person twice.
Yeah.
You are amazing. And when you talk about witnessing, when you talk about your love of helping people, even
Zig Ziglar,
yeah. Wayne loves life you want. If you just help enough other people get what they want.
Yeah. Stan always talks a lot about Zig Ziglar too.
Oh yeah, we both
Zig Ziglar. Bruce is like, I know.
I know. Yeah. But I'm telling you,
yeah,
there's so much truth into that. You know, and you cannot outgive God. That's something that I love reading.
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne. I appreciate all your love towards me and support towards me. Always, like, I always cherish these friendships, you know, forever. So,
well, I'm going to tell you, I hope we can have you back because
let's go.
I think your comments and your knowledge, I mean, I think I'm fair to say that you're wise beyond your years. I mean, when I listen to you and you're 30 doggone years old, holy mackerel, you've got the world in a jug and a stopper in your hand.
Yeah.
I mean,
4 lives to get there, but we're there.
True. Man alive. So you have a lot to offer. And I would love that. Bruce, you know, I know you would too. Would love to have you back.
Sure,
absolutely. Yes, I really would.
Periodically.
Yeah, so, come on. I would love to. Let's make it a thing.
Give everybody your news, because you said since we talked, you've been asked on another program.
Yes, yeah. Wednesday, I actually am going with News Channel 4 for a live radio thing. So
awesome.
That's awesome.
It really is cool.
Yeah. You'll have to record that and send me a copy. I can't wait.
Okay, yeah. I sure will.
And then this will be on video. This will be an MP4 on the site, and I'll give you the links or whatever. Yes. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am. It's Haley Sparks, Haley, and then Sparks. Yeah. And I would love to. I have a lot of people that want to listen to this thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll friend you on Facebook. I'll give the link to the video. We'll give it to our Facebook page. It'll be uploaded on the Facebook page, and I'll kind of wind all that down when that's part of the wind down here that we're almost ready for.
Okay.
I was going to ask you something, man. I know I just drew a blank.
I know, it's just amazing. No, I
see when that happens.
Dang it.
It come up randomly too, like probably the yeah, moment we hang up.
Yeah, just. Oh, here it is. It came back. Good. Woo! I really like the fact that you're true to yourself, in a non-narcissistic way. But like, hey, like my schedule, I'm a morning person, so you wake up in the morning, you do that, yeah. you train twice a day. We have a lot of UFC fighters come on the show, and they do a similar regime. I know CrossFit is on, is on par with that, but
yeah, that's cool.
But I do like, you know, that's really that you train twice a day. Is that even like 7 days a week, or you do that 5 days a week? And then
five. So Wednesdays and Sundays are active. I'll go hike in this canyon on Sunday, you know, just go outside, love nature, and swim. I swim on Wednesdays for active recovery.
Nice.
Yeah. Something therapeutic.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lifestyle. But yes, thank you so much for saying that, Bruce. Treat myself for sure.
I do want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Are you, man, I don't even know how to ask this, but I had a client that was very active like you, but all of a sudden lost their physical abilities, and it damn near crushed them because they were so much of their life was predicated around the exercise, fitness, and
yes. mobility.
So I don't know why I just brought that up, but
I've thought of that before.
Have that plan B, because you know, you don't want your trauma to define you, but you don't want your active lifestyle to define you either, because
that's so good.
One day, God willing, you'll be our age or older.
Yes.
And have to go through kind changes. Of this Kubler-Ross acceptance of like.
No, that's so true. That's
my
so
sister's
true.
In her 70s and she's a professional bodybuilder. It's like, hey, man. You know, you're just can't lift like that anymore. You know what I mean? Like you're 70. Like what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and it's like, oh my God.
That's so crazy.
And without making that mental transition, man, it hard, you know, it's either physical harm on one side or whatever. So anyhow.
I agree.
That's something to think. I know I'm not trying to be a downer or nothing like that.
No, you're right.
Because we look at balance.
By that time, this young lady is going to be nationwide. She's
absolutely.
Going to be wall to wall and treetop tall.
That's right.
She'll be sitting back there just turning the dials.
Oh, man. Yeah. She won't. That's right.
She'll flying at 37,000 feet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She'll be doing that. Yeah. So, okay. So real quick, Haley, how can our viewers and listeners find you?
Yes. Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram is best. You know, I am on Facebook too, but I would say personally, my Instagram is metalandmiles22. And then my business sites are connected to those, but you know, following my personal journey, you'll get a piece of that as well. And you can always branch off and follow that too, if you feel led, but
cool.
Just would love to, you know, witness and testify and all those things through my personal journey too.
Okay. Do you have a core website or a YouTube channel? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My website is sparkstransformnutrition.com.
Okay. Nutrition.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a weekly blog on there. Okay. Go live on my Instagram too. So.
Okay, good. It's kind of a hub where.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Super duper, super, super, super. Okay. Well, great. Sounds wonderful. And Wayne, how can, and then I'll do the final stuff. So Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Well, still at Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All right, everybody. It was a great episode today. So glad Haley could be with us. Remember to catch us on the LA Talk Radio site. All the shows are indexed there. But we're the little podcast that could. We're on Apple iTunes. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on iHeartMedia, Stitcher, and some other aggregators that just picked us up organically. Thank you very much. And we have a Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, Instagram, Concierge_coaches. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
Thank you all.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron.